Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to Melissa Verspeten, who is a member and spokesperson of a group called Get Concerned Stratford. Community activism has not gone away in the pandemic, and while much of our everyday concerns have been taken up by the COVID-19 virus, the issues that provoke concern and encourage grassroots action have not gone away. Verspeten can speak to that firsthand because last fall, Stratford City Council announced that they were proceeding with a plan that would allow the Chinese glass manufacturer Xinyi to build a new facility on the outskirts of Stratford. Not only did the process skip a lot of the typical development benchmarks, it had a Ministerial Zoning Order, or MZO, attached to it. Everything seemed like a done deal, but Xinyi decided to suspend the project in January after widespread community activism against the project. So how did they do it? David beating Goliath is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now you may remember Xinyi from when they were trying to build their glass plant just next door in Guelph, Aramosa. All but one of the township's councillors there rejected the proposal in the wake of widespread public outcry about the effect on the local environment, especially the water supply. And that seemed to be the end of that. Then, last fall, it was announced that Xinyi was trying again in Stratford, and this time they had a unique tool called a Ministerial Zoning Order, a part of the Planning Act that is meant to be used in the event of emergency or for projects of provincial significance. They're supposed to be used sparingly, in other words, but according to Environmental Defense, more MZOs were handed out in 2020 than in the previous 20 years combined. MZOs have been the great boogeyman for activists lately, as they override the normal planning processes and timelines, and Stratford is just one of the places that is currently fighting back. Of course, Xinyi learned something about fighting back, too, by getting the mayor of Stratford, Dan Matheson, on side early, promising jobs for the area residents, and having a counter-communications plan to make it look like there was just as much support in Stratford for the glass plant as against. The process was pretty far along by the time Verspeten and other concerned Stratford residents got wind of the deal, but undeterred, they organized, demonstrated, petitioned, and eventually forced Xinyi to put the entire project on pause as they considered their options. So does public pressure work, or is Xinyi just a unique example of a bad project done in the worst way? That's one of the issues we'll be exploring today with Melissa Verspeten, who will be telling us about the beginnings of Get Concerned Stratford, her beginnings as an activist, and the political and planning conditions in Stratford that led to this project being proposed in the first place. She will also tell us about the politics in dealing with the city of Stratford, the difficulty in getting materials and doing research on the project, and Xinyi's attempts to discredit Get Concerned and make it seem that the project had widespread approval. And finally, we will discuss staying vigilant, what will happen to Get Concerned Stratford now that they've won, and what other groups can learn from Get Concerned in their own fights against MZOs in their areas. So I caught up with Melissa Verspeten last week via Zoom. So Melissa Verspeten, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. I know you are probably feeling a bit tired, but grateful because you have had success in your mission with Get Connected Stratford, and we're gonna try and cover all those bases. But first, could you talk a little bit about your history, like organizing? Like, was this an entirely new area for you, or have you been in a quiet activist for a long time now?
No, I have not. It was definitely a first venture. I lucked out in surrounding myself with some really great people. So that certainly helped the cause here anyways. And like you said, you guys had a similar situation in Guelph, Aramosa. And so I started with reaching out to the people there.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let's start with that, because I think it was 2018, that the summer of 2018, Xinyi tried to establish a glass manufacturing plant just next door in Guelph, Aramosa. That seemed to be the end of it. And then last fall, they reappear in Stratford, not to make it sound like a unsolved mystery or anything, but they appear in Stratford looking to set up I guess what was basically the same facility in Stratford. How did that end up on your radar?
So initially it was through, there was an annexation, like a boundary adjustment for the city of Stratford, which kind of raised some flags because the mayor had been speaking in interviews prior about Shinny and about them potentially being interested in the city, or the city having interest in them coming here. So that sort of started it, but then the annexation went through and then COVID hit. And there was not really anything between the annexation in February of 2020 and when Invest Stratford announced on October 29th that this was the site that they had selected. So it was a bit of an unsolved mystery. It sort of just went dormant and disappeared off the radar. And everyone kind of just assumed, I think, that because there hadn't really been anything in the public eye about it, that it was likely delayed by COVID or canceled because of COVID, like so many other things have been. So it was a shock when it came up at the end of October.
When they expropriated the land in February, what was the explanation? Was it just like there's this land available, we don't have any plans, or was the story?
As far as the annexation is concerned, the city justified that, saying that it was just for available ready to service industrial land in case we had potential businesses that wanted to come here. They claimed that there wasn't enough land within the city boundaries for that purpose. That being said, they based this decision on a employment land justification report that was released prior to the annexation as a 31-page document. Since then, a Freedom of Information request has been done for that report. It's actually 99 pages long and does mention Shinny in that report, the full version of it. So there's a bit of kind of, maybe we didn't have the whole truth going into the votes. So there's some question as to that, but that was the general gist of the whole annexation, was just that it was for available industrial land, should there be inquiries for that.
So when does the ministerial zoning order come into play?
So the first that I learned about that was on October the 29th, when Invest Stratford announced the Shinny project was here. And then there was a ministerial zoning order, which obviously was just for this site specific. It was for a float glass manufacturing facility and the emergency preparedness center that was on site. Very specific, very not what the intended use had been according to the annexation period. So they were saying it was just general, and now all of a sudden we have a MZO that is very, very specific, rendering this land virtually useless for anything else at this point.
Mm-hmm. So just to sort of surround the situation, you have, at the beginning of the year, land is annexed. The explanation is, well, we might need it, we might not, we have no idea. It's here. We're gonna take it, and we'll figure out something to do with it later. And then 10 months later, you kind of get the whole package, right? And it's not just a matter of the glass plant, but also this municipal facility along with it. So it seems like a done deal and a total package, even though 10 months earlier, the official word was, we don't know what we're doing with this land.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So we basically had it dumped on our laps, and here it is. The annexation was for 320 acres total. This factory was to occupy 54% of that. So if it was to be excess industrial lands, they were eating up more than half of it with this one facility. And yet that was never brought to the public's attention during the process.
Mm-hmm. So now we're in October. They've dumped this plan out there. How did you respond? And I guess, how did the community respond? Just generally, I know that from both sides, there's been like, well, it would create jobs, and the other hand is like, well, our water's in danger, and so just like, was there confusion? Just what was the general community feeling?
in general, there was originally not a lot of knowledge about what was going on. So that's when I reached out to the Wellington Water Watchers who had been involved in the Guelph Aramosa fight and to some people there. And I realized that I wasn't the only one in town that had connected with them. So that's how we sort of started Get Concerned Stratford. And then from there, our main goal was just to get the word out to as many people as possible because people didn't know what was going on. So much of that process had been done at in-camera meetings and behind closed doors, that there was just not a lot of general public knowledge about what was going on or the proposal at all. So that was our main focus at the beginning, was just getting the word out as quick as we could. After the 16th meeting, council actually decided to defer that decision and to not do anything with it and to review the public information that had been brought forward. So we bought ourselves about a month. I think they were then supposed to do something on December 14th, and then that got pushed out again. So bought ourselves some time. And then from there, we just looked to gather information. So there was research going on and public education going on. And then we went from there.
I guess one of the things I was interested in too, here in our area, groundwater and anything that might affect groundwater is kind of the issue. And that was always the issue with Zinni here, is that, you know, Guelph, Aramosa, a lot of the areas in Wellington County are very groundwater dependent. So when you're bringing in a company that's going to be using millions and millions and millions of gallons of water, that immediately sets off alarm bells. Can you talk a bit about, I guess, the specific concerns that came with Zinni in your case, in Stratford's case? Like, was it environmental? Was it just the process?
Definitely some process related issues, but a lot of environmental concerns as well. So they were supposed to be on municipal water, which this one company was going to increase the quantity of water used in Stratford by 25% of its current use. So we were going up substantially for this one business. That being said, there didn't seem to be a lot of studies that had been done available. So if the city of Stratford ever came into a situation where there were drought conditions, Shinny's planning consultant, Chris Pidgeon from GSP, said that Shinny would not be subject to those restrictions. So the residents would be restricted in water use if we had any kind of issues in the future, and they would not be, which doesn't really seem fair or right. So there was severe concerns about that. Also with the emissions, they never provided a dispersion model. So as far as the 300 foot emission stack, I guess they called it, where that was going to end up. With the prevailing winds being westerly, it was headed directly over the city of Stratford and beyond, going up that high. I mean, if it was just, as they said, dispersing like water molecules and that sort of thing, it wouldn't need to be 300 feet high. So there was some concerns as to, I mean, they need to get it up because they need to get it out in a way in order to meet provincial regulations.
Mm-hmm. What was the timetable? Like, what were they looking to get this done by? Like, when would theoretically the glass plant open its doors?
So they wanted to break ground this spring. They were looking to get shovel started spring of 2021, and then to have things sort of up and rolling by 2023.
So I mean, that's like in development terms, that is really, really quick. Yeah,
it definitely is. Absolutely. And I know you had mentioned jobs, and as we started doing some of the research, we realized that the vast majority, we called a ton of glass manufacturers in the US and in Europe, most of them are heavily automated. So they may have started out with jobs available, but I would bet that there was plans in the future for that to be automated. And we don't have, I mean, we can't say for sure, but the industry in general is heavily automated. So I doubt that those jobs would have been for a super long term, or possibly not even the jobs that they were estimating at the beginning. And as far as the tax revenue, I don't know that it would offset what they were saying they were going to. It was a split between Perth South and the city of Stratford because of the annexation. So there was some splitting of that tax revenue to start out with. There was also no surety bond. So if there was ever an issue, an environmental concern down the road, there was nothing in place to protect the taxpayers and the residents of the city. If they had environmental disaster, or if they pulled out of here and decided to leave whatever back there, it was whose responsibility at that point? Because we also discovered the ownership structure. It was shell companies in the Cayman Islands and the Virgin Islands. And there was some questionable things going on there as well. So trying to chase that, if there's an ever an issue down the road, was going to be a struggle, I think.
Well, there was struggle as you were gathering all this information too. And even I noticed it, just sort of like keeping one eye on the situation out of curiosity, which is that Zinyi put up a pretty organized front, or a pretty organized counter campaign against you and Get Concerned Stratford, including Made in Stratford. And talk a bit about that, and because your group in particular sort of got the brunt of the counter offensive.
We did, and we weren't the only organized group in town. Lorena McKenna has Wise Communities. There was a climate group that was kind of taking action against them as well as the Energy Environment Committee for the City of Stratford had been opposed to the project. So we certainly were not the only ones, but we definitely took the, like you said, the brunt of a lot of the pushback. So in December of 2020, at Get Concerned Stratford, commissioned a public opinion poll to kind of get sort of a general idea of where the city was as far as did people oppose or did people support the project, because we wanted to have some concrete evidence that we're not just the few that are making a big noise. There's a big group. The majority ended up being people that were opposed to the project. So then I think in January sometime, we started to get word that calls were going out by a company called Made in Stratford, or a group called, the bottom of the website had a link to Shinyi's website on it. So I kind of assumed that they just did it themselves, but there was never really any information and nothing was ever released from that poll. So I'm guessing that it proved the same thing that ours did, in that the majority of the residents here were opposed to the project.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, one of the things I noticed about that Made in Stratford, I mean, aside from the fact that it's straight up copyright and Zindi at the bottom of the page, but it was, you know, there was really nothing to it that said that this was a grassroots Stratford thing, other than the word Stratford in the title. That it just really, and I even tried to look up the IP information and the registration for the website and link back to like New York. It was registered at a server in New York, and it's just like, well, this hardly seems like
legit.
It just seemed like such a lazy effort to me. Like, and maybe I wanted to get your feedback on this too. It's just, you know, Mayor Matheson was pretty enthusiastic about the project. There was this concerted effort to try and discredit you and other people against the project. Lazy though it may have ultimately been, but you know, it does feel like there was. I don't know. I don't like to talk conspiratorially, but it does feel like the odds were lined up against you the whole time.
I definitely felt that way too. I had days where I felt like our 5%. We have conversation amongst our group, and we would do it maybe every couple of weeks. And oh, what are you feeling today? And there were times where I just thought the same thing everyone else thought. Like, this is a done deal. I'm spending 40 hours of my week researching stuff, and we're gonna end up just nowhere. But if you think that way, I mean, you're never going to win if you don't at least try. So we kept plugging forward, and I think we dragged each other through those hard times and all those negative thoughts, and we kept moving forward, and eventually we did obviously get to where we are now. But it was not an easy go, and I did not always think that we were going to come out this way.
Yeah.
So for sure there was, I mean, I just feel like if council and if the mayor thought it was such an awesome idea, the project should have been allowed to exist on its merits. Like, why are we bring it out to the public and say, it's so great, here it is, and and let it be what it is. But that was never the case. It was rammed through at the last second. The votes were all short term. Like, there was no conscience for what was going on in the background or what people would actually think of that. And I think that that was done for a reason, because they knew that people were not going to be happy about it.
Well, I would also attach to that, if they were so sure about the project, it would still be proceeding, maybe in an adjusted way where they do take that open and honest approach.
Right.
But as soon as, I mean, whatever you and Get Concerned Stratford were doing was like so loud, so pervasive, they just gave up. It feels like they just gave up. It's like, well, they found us out. We can't do it here. We're going to try, maybe move on, try somewhere else.
Well, and I think that they learned a lot having gone through the Guelph Aramosa fight. And I think that probably was part of the reason that they went about it the way that they did when they got here. So you guys had a hard fight there. We had a really hard fight here. because they tried to correct some of the things that maybe had gone sideways there.
Right.
So.
Right. If there was one fault with Guelph Aramosa, it was too open a process from the beginning.
Well, and I mean, I just feel like if they're going to keep running up against that, maybe they need to correct their processes or like a cleaner, more sustainable way of doing. I get that we need glass. There's no question about that. However, adjust your processes, do some research and development, try and come up with something that serves everybody and serves the environment at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Looking to your local government though, I mean, there's already kind of a lot of trepidation about MZOs and their use. And I know there are some controversial projects here in Guelph that people will delegate to council and say, like, they will openly say, I know this is controversial and maybe you may be encouraged to use an MZO to try and get it done. You know, things like supportive housing, even. People are really suspicious of this process. Your council has already tried to do it once. I wonder how that is affecting people in your community in terms of, you know, people want to think the best of their local city council, that they're looking out for the community. But I mean, they've really kind of stepped in it. I feel that, you know, people are already dubious of this process. And, you know, how can they trust any planning proposal that comes back to city council for the rest of the term?
So we did have a few councillors that were opposed to the project from the beginning. That being said, there were definitely some that were strongly in favor of it for varying reasons. And I do think that if this project had been brought forward into a public process, at least people would not feel like they were left in the dark. If the project stands on its own merits, that's one thing. However, there was definitely a lot of in-camera meetings and backroom meetings that had gone on throughout this process. So moving forward, I do think that there potentially could be some concern about what's going on in City Hall. And I do think that the residents of the city are watching very closely at this point. So hopefully everything is above board from here forward.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned before that the designation for that land is pretty much stuck right now. So, I mean, there's no way that can, not to imply more chicanery, but there's no way someone could like buy the land and just not make it available for Zinyi or anything like that.
So my understanding is that there is an agreement of, or had been an agreement of purchase and sale in place for that property that was conditional on a few things like the process going through and being approved and whatnot. I'm assuming, I haven't seen the paperwork for anything, but it is privately owned. The city does not own the property. It's owned by a farmer and his family. So that's sort of that piece back there. I don't think that anything else will go on back there right away. Down the road, who knows? It's going to be expensive to service that land, which was the reason for the need for the cost sharing agreement. The services need to come across line 29, which is the closest road to that property from the city. So there was some servicing costs that would be associated not just with that property, but some of the other land that had been annexed as well, which is my understanding.
You know, that's another layer to this too, though. you know, it almost feels like this was more trouble than it's worth, even from the city's point of view. If from the point of view of like getting jobs, it's just like, we have to get this tract of land. It's not in our city. We have to service it. We have to pay part of the share of the tax revenue we get from it with another municipality. It's, you know, I'm starting to think who thought this was a good idea in the begin with.
Well, and that's kind of what our point was from the beginning, is why would this ever have seemed like a good idea? Stratford also has the lowest unemployment rate in the province. Every place in town is hiring almost. So selling it kind of as a huge job creation opportunity is not so relevant. There's already lots of other factories in town here that aren't able to keep employment. So there's lots of opportunities for people that are looking for work here. So just in addition to all of the other things that make it seem like maybe not the greatest idea, we're in COVID right now, and we're a tourist driven city. So we're being asked to spend $6 million tax dollars on servicing lands for this corporation, billion-dollar corporation, when our small business owners are going through the worst time of their lives. That $6 million spend just didn't make any sense either.
Mm-hmm. That's such an important point too, because I mean, Stratford is historically and remains a very industrial centric town, but there is this whole other piece of that with the tourism industry, which is like the one industry that is just flattened because of the pandemic.
Right, absolutely.
You mentioned staying vigilant with looking to you know members of city council, and I guess that makes me think too about, you know, what the fate of your group is, which I you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but was kind of set up for this one fight. One might read this as, you know, the fight is over, or at the very least, there is sort of a long armistice ahead. But I mean, what are you and the others doing to sort of stay on top of it and to stay vigilant?
We are still in talks about exactly what that means for our group, because we had formed strictly for the purpose of fighting this specific issue. That being said, there's still some background things going on, like we would like to see the NZO revoked by the province. So we're kind of pushing to have that happen, but also to see that land brought back into the township of Perth South would be ideal. It was not a justified annexation. The city has available industrial land within its boundaries. We would kind of like to see some intensification rather than urban sprawl as far as that's concerned. We should be looking for businesses that will fit in the space that we have available for the time being, not eat up all this prime agricultural land unnecessarily. So ideally having that annexation undone would be wonderful. So we're kind of hoping to maybe see that happen, working on a few things in the background, and then we'll see where Get Concerned goes. We're kind of still in talks as far as that's concerned.
Another piece of this too that I'm thinking about the future, and you mentioned learning from the groups that went up against Z before, like Wellington Water Watchers. I think a lot of people are watching what happened in Stratford. People are concerned about MZOs, and I mean, that's in a lot of places in this province, whether it's like the foundry in Toronto or the wetlands in Pickering. I think a lot of people might be looking at you and Get Concerned Stratford and saying, you know, you were David, you beat Goliath. We're facing our own Goliath. What can we learn from you? So what lessons do you think you've learned that may be handy to other groups in the province who are fighting their own MZO battles?
So I do honestly think that we've provided some inspiration or some hope for those people that are fighting those things. To the best of my knowledge, an MZO has not been overturned in the province at this point. So it would be great if people would just know that it can be done, and it takes some work and some persistence and a lot of time. But if you're willing to take those steps and make those sacrifices, I feel like people can make a change and make a difference. And I think that's been one of the biggest things going forward, was just to convince people that it's not a done deal and that one person can have a voice loud enough to make a difference. It takes one, and then they become two, and then 10. And it snowballs, right? You collect up all these people with the same thoughts and the same hopes, and then it's just a matter of giving them a voice. And I think change can be made, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And looking the other way, to the politicians in your own backyard, to the members of city council who were gung-ho about the project, and Mayor Matheson, I mean, what's your advice to give them to sort of try and win back trust? I mean, I can't imagine that's going to be easy, but I assume you have an idea of how they could go about that.
I do think that there is some faith that's been lost in some members of council at this point. As far as, I just think that they need to be transparent. It comes down to just people want to know what's going on in the city that they live in the city they their kids are growing up in and that they pay taxes in. People want to be kept in the loop of what's going on. So I think that moving forward, the city needs to have a clear process of how things will be done, and to make sure that the public is made aware of things that will affect everyone. This was not a small business just moving into town. This was a massive thing that could have changed the entire landscape of the city. And to think that that should have gone through without the public's knowledge is beyond me. It's so disheartening to think that anyone thought that that was okay. So I do hope that moving forward, they will just be more transparent in what they're doing. And we'll see. I mean, elections are still a ways away. Maybe there will be some changes between now and then. Right now, I feel like we do need some change in council. Personally, I would like to see some more people step forward and get involved, because I think we could use some new faces, some new ideas, some freshness.
You realize people might be looking to you to fill that role too.
I do not have political aspirations, but I will certainly campaign for a strong candidate. I will happily door knock or do whatever I can to support someone who has an agenda that I believe in. So if there's anybody out there that is that person, that would be great.
I would point out to there's a rule in political reporting that the answer is always no until it is yes. So we maybe we don't know the future, I guess, is the point I'm getting at.
Well, exactly. I mean, who knows? Maybe things will change in the next year and a half. I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, Melissa Verspieten, wherever you land, we wish you luck, and thank you for sharing your time and your insights today on that battle. I know it wasn't easy, because I saw it fought here. So thank you again for all your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And once again, that was Melissa Verspieten. You can learn more about Get Concerned Stratford and its activism via their social media pages. Meanwhile, the Stratford Beacon Herald had complete coverage of the debate over Zinyi and the placement of the glass plant, and you can find all that coverage by following the links on the show notes page for this episode of the podcast. And speaking of this episode of the podcast, that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is usually recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can download it from the host Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. When you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you will also get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at animedonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at animedonaldson or at Guelph Politico. There is also the Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, please consider donating to Guelph Politico. And you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate.
And for all the latest local political news, check out GuelphPolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Politicast for you sometime next week. Well, Wednesday more likely. Anyway, until then, we will see you next time.